Good morning, everyone. It's really, really great to be back. I've been out of town for 2 weeks serving our denomination on a board to take care of pastors in crisis, and then spent a week up at Pilgrim Pines. And so, so great to be back, and I'll share a little bit more about that. As we prepare to, we've been, for family services, we're following a video series by Tim Kimmel, and today's gonna be about grace in families. So as our tech team's queuing that up, and then for folks back home, as you get ready to watch it, since we can't live stream that video, we wanted to invite everyone who is a part of EBS this year, who's been working so hard, the volunteers, we want to really lift it up in prayer, as Jessica challenged us and invited us to. So if you are volunteering, serving in any way for VBS, could you stand up, because we'd like to pray for you. Don't be shy. And then we can give them a hand as well, because without them, we can't do it. And if you can kind of, if you're comfortable, just stretch your hand towards them, and let's pray that God will really use them as his servants, to really love all the children that will be coming, to pray for wisdom and strength. Pray for Pastor Theo in particular as he leads his first VBS with us here at Trinity. So let's have a word of prayer as we pray for VBS and all the wonderful volunteers. Thank you, Jesus, for the children. Thank you in the ways in which we get to minister and receive them this week through the doors of our church, and to teach them the scriptures and show them who Jesus is, that you were real, that you were born and raised in Nazareth, Lord. You love us that much that you desired to show us what love is like in your life and your death and your resurrection. We pray that that life would be manifest in all our volunteers as they serve, as they love on the children that come. May you empower them. May you give them wisdom and grace. May there be a sense of unity in their hearts as we are really on mission for you, Jesus, as we reach out to kids from the community, our own children here at Trinity, and family and friends. We just lift up this coming week, beginning tomorrow morning on Monday. Be with Pastor Theo as well as he leads the charge. Thank you for his hard and diligent work over these past several months to get this ready, and his whole crew, his VBS team. Anoint them and bless them and use them for your kingdom and glory. May the seeds of the gospel be planted deep into the hearts of these precious little ones, that they might come to know your love and follow you all the days of their life. So we give you thanks, Lord. Commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we appreciate once again and encourage them as they get ready starting tomorrow? All right. We're going to watch a brief message by video, if we're ready with that, by Tim Kimmel, called Grace in Families. Romans chapter 12, we're going to briefly look at, starting in verse 9. We'll do 9 through 13, and I'll just go ahead and read that for us as we chew upon this brief message that Tim Kimmel just shared with us regarding grace in families. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 reminds us, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." This is God's word. We're spending the next couple of weeks thinking about grace in our homes, whether you are a family of one or a dozen in your family unit. We want to think about, especially as we've heard, Tim Kimmel challenge us, how do we have grace-filled homes, no matter what our families look like. Tim mentioned families are often a place where we face our greatest trials, but it is also here where we can find God's grace working. And how true that is in the midst of all that we may be going through in our lives, within our families, often with trials, that in the midst of that, he reminds us that this is where we often see God's greatest grace at work. And if we listen to what he shared, he mentioned two things that really characterize families that really understand this grace. He said that the common links in these families who go through life with a real sense of joy is, first of all, parents who lead their family spiritually with intentionality. Was one of them. I'm very convicted by that, challenged by that. It's always a struggle, especially when the kiddos are a little younger. But nevertheless, he pointed that out. And then he talked about there is an attitude and also a real-life practice of servanthood. It's a family that's on mission for God and moving in that same direction together. And so we pause as we reflect on his challenge to us this morning about grace and families, and we ask ourselves whether you are here with a family of one or a family of a dozen under your roof, what are some ways in which you lead your family spiritually? Right, we pause and we really ask that, not to cause guilt or panic or, oh man, I've not done this in weeks, months, or years, but take a pause. If he says that the two things that characterize families who are filled with joy and are really understanding this grace-filled home idea, it is parents who lead their family spiritually. And what are some ways in which you lead your family spiritually? And when we had a message several months ago on Family Strong, we had encountered some wonderful but challenging statistics about factors that caused 19 to 29 year olds, once they have grown up and left the home in most cases, and they stayed in the church, what was one of the factors that contributed to why they are living for Jesus actively today as young adults? And 25%, if you remember when we went over this, said, we had one spiritual experience together with our family during the week. Now, I get it. This is not easily practiced. For my children growing up, it was one of the most challenging and hilarious experiences to try to do family worship and devotion. If someone isn't laughing, sleeping, pretending to be sleeping, doing some other unmentionables, if you could imagine, that makes a little room a little bit stinky. You could imagine how crazy family worship can often be. And it's still hard. And so I get it. To try to sit down, have a family devotion, some kind of spiritual experience, even praying before a meal, before half the kids are already digging in. Hey, we didn't pray yet. Oh, I forgot. Can any of you relate to those challenges of how hard it is? And yet, there's something about having that spiritual connection with one another together, with God, that 19 to 29-year-olds who were surveyed said that 25% of them had a regular spiritual experience together with their family outside of church. And so we pause and we think about that. He also said that when families really understand God's grace and you have a grace-filled home, that when there are the extended family members, and I would say also close friends, often who may be difficult to love. Does anyone have someone in their family that is difficult to love? And please don't point to the person next to you. That would not be good. But what a challenge when the grace of God is working. He says, what can you do this week to show those who are more difficult to love that you really love them unconditionally, just as in Christ God has done for you and I? Norma Williams reminds us that the home is God's greatest agency for the transformation of his word from one generation to another. And so how are we being intentional about communicating that truth through times of gathering together around the table or around the coffee table or whatever it might be, and having that time to unite our hearts together as a family in Jesus Christ? And how are we establishing an environment, Tim challenges us, to really serve others? Brian Chappell, author, pastor, and former president of Covenant Seminary, said this: a deep personal relationship with the Lord is the most basic building block of Christian parenting. Ultimately, if it's real for you and I, the children will see it, will experience it, and it will trickle down, though it could take a few years for it to really manifest itself. A deep personal relationship with the Lord is the most basic building block of Christian parenting. A Christian parent's first priority and most important duty is to love Jesus. So more than, I don't know how to lead a family devotion, I don't know how to do this and that, and the pastors are so much better, my small group leader, my Sunday school teacher, so much better at it. But in your own way, as messy as it might be, if you can learn to love Jesus because of his love for you, it will impact, it will trickle down. And so those two things we take away as we reflect on this short video message: families that lead their own families, parents that lead their families spiritually with intentionality, and those that can imbue a attitude of servanthood, of mission, together, are families that indeed are beginning to understand what it is to have a grace-filled home. This past 2 weeks have been very full for me personally, but really profoundly shaping. The first week was not as fun, a meeting with pastors in crisis during our annual meeting for our denomination down in Cincinnati, but oh boy, obviously I cannot share details of any of those meetings. But when a pastor's family is in crisis and they submit themselves to the guidance and love and care and sometimes discipline of our denomination, those that we have seen who really humble themselves and are willing to get right with Jesus and with their spouses and families and their church family, wow, the turnaround stories that we hear are profoundly moving. Because all of us mess up in our lives and struggle under tough circumstances. So that was the first week. This past week, we were up at Pilgrim Pines. For those of us that may not be familiar, it's our denominational camp and retreat center, conference center, up in Swansea, New Hampshire. And this is my seventh time preaching this week, so it's a joy, it's a privilege. They worked me hard. No, it's been great. Morning started with daily worship together with my family. We ate three meals a day together, except at times when my older kids couldn't wake up for the 8 a.m. breakfast. Food was so good. Kathy's like, oh, I didn't have to cook this week, praise Jesus. 1 week straight of having all the meals prepared. We had so much fun together. And you would find me in the deep end of the cordoned off area of swimming. A lot of you guys know exactly what that looks like, just floating my troubles away in the cool waters of Swansea. No, it was great, really great. Spending the whole day together, paddleboarding, canoeing, my son Jonathan always trying to catch that big one in the lake, and he did catch another bass, believe it or not. We had a great, great time. And being part of a multi-generational camp experience with so many other campers, as God has rebuilt our camp, our denominational camp, through, if you remember a year ago, they went through a devastating once-in-a-100-year flood, and through a lot of churches and many of you all, your generous giving, the camp has been completely rebuilt. It's even better and stronger and reaching more people. And Jim Condep, the director, turned to me and said, Peter, this is so wonderful. It actually feels normal, and normal is good. Praise God. Thank you guys so much for the ways that you've been in prayer for Pilgrim Pines. For myself as a dad, not just as the speaker of the week for week one of family camp, seeing each of my kids eventually during the week finding a group of friends, from James to Jonathan to Ella, and connecting with them, playing together, having fun. For those of us that are parents, that is something that we all long for our kiddos to experience, to find a good friend, to be able to hang out in the love of Christ in a safe environment and enjoy. And seeing that, Kathy and I were just thrilled. And yet, we had a few troubling episodes. James, my youngest, who will be nine, he'll be nine, right? Yes, coming up, was so excited exploring the speaker's cabin that he went out to the porch on the second floor and didn't realize it was self-locking and got locked out. The other two kids were doing their thing, vegging out, watching TikTok videos, kind of in their own world. And James was locked out on the porch, banging on the door, shaking the doorknob, and then within a minute, screaming, crying, yelling at passerby, other campers, I'm locked out, help me. And they said, just hang in there, we'll help you, and they never came. My son Jonathan finally heard the knocks and the screams and thought, ah, James is faking. As James continued to start to panic and didn't know what else to do, he said, Daddy, I got so desperate, I began to cry out to God in prayer. Later he began to share, because we sent him to Squanto for his age group a few days before. That first night, he said, was absolute misery. The snoring, kids waking up to use the bathroom, the bugs, no AC this past week. He said, he was staring out the window as the sun came up in the morning. He didn't sleep a wink. He said, Daddy, I ended up praying again to God. And of course, I laughed initially and said, wow, this is good training for my kids. Let's do it again. But I began to realize, wow, when he was locked out on the porch, when he couldn't sleep a wink in utter misery till the sun came up, he began to pray. And I've always taught my kids the scripture verse, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Michelle Anthony in Spiritual Parenting, we've looked at this before. She reminds us every single opportunity, every single hour that we are given in a day is an opportunity for our children to discover who God is. Our part is not to control our children's behavior, but rather to create a place for the Holy Spirit to do his work. We cannot change our loved ones. We cannot change our precious children, whether they're adult children or we're still changing their diapers. But we do our very best to love Jesus And we learn to pray when we are in trouble and when we are afraid. And by God's grace, as my son locked out on the porch deck, didn't know what else to do, so he started to pray. Faith does begin to trickle down to our kids and our grandkids. They watch us. When we are afraid, what do we do? Every single opportunity is an opportunity as we create a place for the Holy Spirit to do His work. I pray that Trinity Covenant Church will continue to be a place where our homes will be grace-filled. And our children, whether they're littles or adults, will learn that when they are afraid, that they can trust in Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful for an opportunity to be together as a church family. As I was reminded this past week, there is such a beauty of being and doing community with families together, locked step in step, hand in hand, in fellowship. Teach us how to do that better, Lord. Teach us how we can show ourselves as a mother or a father, a brother, sister, a friend, a son or daughter of someone who truly loves Jesus. And may that love indeed trickle down. And so, Father, thank you for this challenge we've heard from Tim Kimmel to have intentionality of pausing sometime during the week outside of a Sunday service to unite our hearts in you and through your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we are called to serve and be on mission together. May our families, whatever community that we live in, will indeed be that mission post to love and care for our neighbors. And so thank you, Lord, for that wonderful reminder. Be present with us, Lord, as we now conclude our time this morning as one family, helping one another see Jesus in one another. May it continue to trickle down and pour over, Lord, spill over the love of Christ. And so, thank you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll be inviting you forward, for those that know and love Jesus, to celebrate the sacrament of Lord's Supper. Let us see this as a family meal, as we see Jesus in one another, as we struggle in life together. When we are afraid, I will trust in you. We will trust in you. And so in just a moment, we'll invite you forward to participate in the Lord's Supper. And so in this time, as we're reminded that it is a sacred privilege to approach the table, may we humbly, once again, with intentionality, let this be a communal opportunity to establish our family altars as you come up with your children or your grandchildren or your spouse or even by yourself, as we desire to live a holy life and express our sorrow for our sins. May we run to the table with joy and anticipation of meeting Jesus together. And so at this time, I'd like to invite you to rise with me if you're able to stand, and together we will recite that ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed, that the church has done for centuries. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I would like us just briefly to pause, and you may even close your eyes and reflect on what you have heard thus far through this time together during our worship. Let this be a time of self-examination. How am I doing with Jesus? Is one of those questions that our covenant forebears would often ask one another. How goes it in your walk? How goes it with Jesus? And so we'll pause for just a moment to ask ourselves that question as we have just celebrated the 4th of July. We've seen family and friends this past holiday weekend. You've had great times, maybe like me, ate a little bit too much, and whatever it might be, let's take a moment to pause and to reflect. How goes it with Jesus? How goes it with your family this morning? Can we pause for just a few moments, and then I'll pray. Forgive us, most gracious God, for what we have done to bring pain to your beautiful world, our hard and unkind words, our careless and thoughtless deeds, our lack of compassion and reluctance to render aid when it was in our power to do so. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. We return back to you, Lord, by faith. And so thank you, Lord, for this communal opportunity to approach your table to have a family meal and celebrate your great love for us. And so we thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we'll invite you forward. Here at Trinity, we do it as we invite you forward. You can receive the elements that will be placed in your hands. You can take it up here, or you can return back to your seats and take the elements there. And if anyone is unable to come forward, just raise your hand and our communion service will be able to serve you the elements right where you are sitting. And so hear now the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Apostle Paul. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, after he had given thanks, he took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread, you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Jesus himself invites you to this family meal, the meal and table is open to all who believe and profess faith in Christ. And so we invite you, as you receive the elements, to draw near to the love of Christ. And in your hearts, we celebrate and we say, "Thank you, my God." And so at this time, we can invite our communion service forward, and you'll be invited to receive the elements row by row, starting from the front and then to the back. Anyone who would like to receive a prayer of blessing and encouragement, we have members of prayer team on the left side. I'll be waiting on the right side. We would love to say hello and to be able to pray with you as well for anyone that has need. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Let's pray together as we close out our service. Lord, we desire more than anything else to have homes that are filled with the grace of Jesus Christ. So lead us how we can do that better. by your mercy and your power. We thank you, Lord, for this family service. Bless everyone from young to old. May we continue to walk in you and stand in Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you all. Please pray for VBS. Thank you so much.